The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. This is part two in a two-part episode. If you missed episode one, go back to the previous episode and check it out, and then enjoy this episode number two.
Okay, how about this one? Why am I always surrounded with bliss and happiness no matter what?
Oh, that's so good. So when, not if, somebody quits, employee, customer, some weird thing happens, one of the tools at our disposal is, why does this always happen to me? Why is this guy such a jerk? Why, who else is going to quit? What's next? You have all those at your disposal. Feel free to pull them out. Ask the one you just asked. Cause I think when something we perceive to be bad happens, this question is such a beautiful question.
Why am I surrounded with bliss and happiness no matter what?
Easy to ask when you're watching your kid play and he or she does something endearing and you're like, easy peasy, right? Like, I think we all kind of naturally do that. And that's fine. God bless. But when less endearing things happen, man, that's a powerful question. So I think the timing on that one is so key.
And let's remember, our mind wants to keep stacking. All right. Mm-hmm. So if we find one reason, it'll stack on another reason, even if it's tomorrow. So you're stacking on all the better things and it gives you a better focus.
Yeah. I think the first time I heard that stacking thing was Anthony Robbins talks about a table. And if you have a table with one little belief under it and it's real skinny, that table is not going to be worth much. But if you put three or four legs under it, it's going to be worth something. And if you put 100 legs under it, it's going to be untoppable. So
right. And all of a sudden, I get excited. Imagine teaching this to your staff.
Oh my gosh.
Right. We talk about things that serve and empower us. Imagine teaching these questions to your staff. You will build a team of giants.
And let's do some questions right there. I love kind of doing it right as we do it. So I'm always trying to be the listener and kind of shout out what he or she's trying to shout out, but we can't hear. I would love to, Suzanne, but I'm still weak at this. And so I'm going to make a statement, then I'm going to make a question. I'll make a better question. I'll let Suzanne supercharge it even more. So the statement I would make is, but I don't have this, or I shouldn't say I would make the statement I can hear some people making. Well, I don't have that. So it's going to, I can't teach. That won't work for me. I can't teach it to them. I got to work on getting it myself first. Statement. Question could be, well, how am I going to teach this to them if I don't have it perfect? At least we're asking questions, right? Because a statement is just hard, that's the end of a conversation. A question at least is the beginning of a conversation. So how would I possibly do this when I don't have it myself? All right. It's a question. It's a decent question. I would supercharge that to go, what advantages do I have not having this skill, trying to teach someone else than someone that was perfect at it? And the answer I would come up with to that is, what a cool thing to share with my people. Hey, here's something I'm struggling with. I'm going to learn, and I like your help with it. And then they can help me with it. And then they can see me be vulnerable. Like, I couldn't do that if I was really confident in that skill. Thoughts on how anything to help with that, Suzanne?
That's brilliance in action, Mike. How many times does our ego want to make us seem perfect? And that holds us back. I cannot present this. I cannot do this because I'm not perfect at it. However, what a breath of fresh air for someone, especially your boss, to say, I'm not perfect. I still work at getting it right. This is something let's all work together on. And they're like, wow.
And if the question is, well, how am I supposed to do this when I don't even have it? It's going to be hard to come to that answer. But when the question is, what if you had to answer the question, if you force yourself to answer the question, well, if I don't have this, what's the unique opportunity I have above if and when I do have this skill? Then it's almost an obvious, you know what I'm saying? Without the question, it seems like a genius statement, but with the question, it seems like an obvious answer. Like, well, of course, what else could there be? So I love the forcing yourself to answer. Don't give up on it, right? It could be easy to go, there's no answer. I don't know. Try again. What if you did know?
What I always suggest is try something that you think, this sounds pretty good. Let's give it a try. Okay. Try it for a week. Commit to asking yourself these questions at least morning and evening, every day and night for a week. See how you feel. Then decide if you want to do it for another week. And then once you've done it for 2 weeks, I guarantee you'll be starting to notice the difference. And at that point, you're like, okay, I can share this.
And just the mental picture of trying it on, like if I was going to get a tattoo, which I don't have any, no judgment for a tattoo.
That's hard to try on.
Right. I'm going to think long and hard and there might be trepidation and what if, right? But if I'm going to spend a lot of money buying new clothes, well, that I have to spend money. But if I'm just going to try on this pair of clothes just for a day and then I can give it back or I can wear it again tomorrow, that seems a lot more. I like that frame, right? Mm-hmm. What if I could just try this on? What if I didn't have to change everything about who I am? What if I could fail and try it on again?
The thing that I would suggest we all be careful of is until we get a habit of doing it, it's very easy not to do it or not to make the change. So if you half-heartedly say, I'm going to do this one day, and then tomorrow you've forgotten about it, you don't do it, nothing changes, right? You have to commit. I usually say a week because that's a short enough time. It doesn't feel like a lifetime. But the reality is, if you're in any way thinking, yes, after a week, there's something here, you have to commit for another week. Get through life a week at a time if you have to. But keep focusing on it so it becomes a habit.
Yeah, and I like breaking into smaller chunks because, again, that's trying it on. If you have to try on this clothes or tattoo for a year, like I'd get a henna tattoo in a second because they last, I don't know, a week. Right. I don't know what they last, but whatever, put a whole spider on my back and for a week, it'd be fun. That's not who I am. It's not what I want to carry around for life. But if you have to make me a decision to make it for life, I'm going to make it no. But if it's a week, who knows? So I think that the shorter the time frame, the higher the commitment should be in that, right? Like, well, if I'm only going to do it for a week or 5 days or just Monday through Friday, whatever, well, I'm going to at least go all in. I'm going to at least turn the intensity way up because obviously if I did it for a year, maybe I don't need this as high of an intensity to get results. But if I do it for a week, I got to go all in. I'm not going to get any results. So I like that. Give yourself the out of, hey, this isn't forever. I'm just going to try it. But if I'm going to try it, let's try it. And if I'm not going to try it, let's not. All right. So hit me with the next questions because these are just so powerful.
Next one. Why am I always surrounded with love, by love and amazing people whom I am deeply connected to? Why am I always surrounded by love and amazing people whom I am deeply connected to?
You know, I'm trying to think of business stuff that could wobble me. I get sued or a key person quit or maybe a key person quit and, you know, starts talking crap about me. That's all just feels awful and gross. But if I respond with why am I surrounded with people? Because it's me who I connect with and I love and I have this emotional connection. It just takes all the sting out, right? Because it's hard to respond to that with anything other than something that feels amazing. How may I ask, Suzanne, when you do this, or maybe I should ask, when you started, because that's probably more appropriate for the people. How long did this take you per day? Like per, because you said once in the morning, once in the afternoon. Is this
it takes like a minute.
5 minute thing?
It takes like a minute.
Gee, Christmas. So just like we're talking about with intensity, if you're only going to do it for a minute, for crying out loud, go all in, like ask these really thoughtfully and passionately.
Even if you're not taking the time to answer the question, when you ask the question, your mind is going, ooh, this must be me.
Yeah. Right? I'm such a verbal guy. I think I would try asking, not try. If you only have to do it twice a day, morning and night, you can be alone. I would ask these out loud. I just hear you hearing, even if you recorded it and played it for yourself. Like if I just had it on paper, I don't think it'd be as impactful as me hearing you say it, Suzanne. And of course, when it's my words, then I really trust them. So if I said it out loud.
Exactly.
And even if it took 2 or 3 minutes, I think rolling around in these for a little while each would feel phenomenal. Like
it does. So if you can allow yourself a little more time to roll in them, absolutely.
And a little more time is like 5 minutes. This isn't like, you know, so just to be clear, if it only takes a minute and there's five of these, it seems like you're literally just asking them and not really giving a ton of time to reflect. Is that, am I hearing you right?
You can do it that way. Yes. That's often how I do it. I just say them, and just saying them is kind of like, all you have to go is, yeah, yeah, that's right. Right. Yeah, that's right.
It's crazy because questions are so powerful. I'm like, but I can't not answer them. Like, you know, again, us crazy, insane people are like, wait, why? The question was asked, I have to answer it. So I love that. I don't want to say you're giving permission, but if I just read these with emphasis and emotion and really don't even answer them, just sit on it for a second or two and then ask the next one, then the next one, that can give the value. God forbid I spend 5 minutes really thinking through the answers to all of these.
You're going to love the next one. You're going to love the next question. You ready?
Talk to me.
Why am I so good at making, keeping, and multiplying money?
So, well, again, if it depends on, I believe it or not, as much as I like money, I like the one before that because relationships are really key for me. But if money is not if, since money is a part of what we want, that's all right. So I don't want to be a naysayer, but I want to make sure I speak to the people that are out there and how they're feeling. Because I know a lot of, I know you guys and I love you guys and I've been you guys. People are broke. I can't pay rent. I'm half homeless. I am not there now. How do I ask that question with integrity and not fake it till I make it and just pretend when that's not my reality currently?
How about saying this is obviously going to become my reality?
Okay. So just when I start making those statements up, but I'm not, I'm clearly not. Because again, I don't ever want to just be like, ignore facts. I like bending reality, but that doesn't mean we can just pretend they don't exist. So if I'm behind on my bills, whatever that looks like for me, and for just, you know, normal me just goes, well, but I'm not. So I haven't demonstrated that ability right now to be so good at multiplying money.
So new story, right? You say, I'm creating a new story. And now my story is, why am I so good at making, keeping, and multiplying money? This is obviously going to be happening.
So I hate to mess with the formula, but I'm asking to get stuff. Because I don't want to ever just ask questions and I'm like, this is bull crap. Because again, if we can't really play, I don't want to play, right? If it's a fake game and when it's not a real score, I don't want to play.
Okay.
So, and I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just trying to put, I've been there. So what if, would this weaken or strengthen the question if that is my situation where I'm not paying bills?
Oh, I've got one. I've got one. Why do I always find ways now?
That's it. Even if I haven't found ways before. And I could ask, the question I was going to ask is, why today am I going to start finding and multiplying money that I haven't done yesterday? Is that too... me like trying to suck the joy and life out of this thing because I'm not trying.
Ooh, that's like an arrow, right? Why
that's
today?
It's like a what you cut out.
That's very analytical.
Because, well, again, I know that that's some percentage of...
It's great. It makes for a great discussion. And that's because you're creating a new story. Right? We can drag all the past junk that has never worked for us. That's all our past stories of lack and unsuccess. And we can drag that around, or we can choose to make today a new day.
Yeah,
I'm going to find ways. Is it slow at first? Yes. I'm going to find ways.
Yeah. And there are, and I think I'm trying to get over my analytics. If it's just me, I'll definitely shut up. But if I'm representing a chunk of the audience out there, I want to make sure they get
definitely
their voice heard. So I guess the two options would be just to kind of be like, I'm telling myself a new story. I know that's not been my story in the past, but I haven't asked these questions in the past. So that could be part of it. That could be part of it. But the other thing I could ask, there's a dozen corollary questions that would be helpful for analyticals. Like, how many people have been my age and been broke and then become millionaires? And that's going to be many, right? There's a lot of people that have, or how many people have made a radical change in their financial situation by making a radical change in their behavior? And what radical change am I making? Well, crap, I'm asking these questions right now. And I was given these questions by people that all they do is teach people how to get different financial results. So, okay, I just want to make sure that you guys have some tools other than, well, I'm not that, whatever it is. Well, I don't have friends and I don't have money and I don't have whatever. Therefore, this whole thing is bull and I don't want to do it. And it's like, yes, based on the behaviors that you've been doing up until now, you've gotten the results that you've gotten. So 1,000% agree, Mr. Analytical. If you keep acting and thinking and asking the same questions you've been asking, yes, you will absolutely do that. But by definition, you're doing this and you're going to have to get different results. So, all right, just trying to scratch my own itch and make sure I'm giving people tools because it's so powerful. I don't want to easy out where people just go, ah, it won't work. Or that, you know, here's another. Was that number three or four?
I love that. Let me see. That was number four. And I've got three more. So before we run out of time, let me say all three and then we can continue to discuss. Next.
You know me too well, Suzanne. She's like, you're going to keep talking. We're going to run out of time. So zip it. I got three rapid fire. Go for it.
Why does the universe always have my back?
Oh, that's so powerful and global.
Okay. Next one. Why do my dreams and goals come to me with such ease and speed? And the last one I want to share, I think this is kind of mine because I learned these from Vision a while ago. And this changed my life. Why do I always get paid huge amounts of money just for being me and doing the things I love?
I think my favorite part about these, Suzanne, is they're all global questions. And when you look at cults or religions or paradigm shifts or movements in any way, they always start with a global belief. There's a heaven or there's a hell or not. There's right or wrong or not. There's a God in the world or I am a God in the world or whatever. These are all global beliefs. And we get bad global beliefs, we can start making bad, all the decisions that the cascade from them are bad. But if we get powerful global beliefs, all the decisions downstream have to cascade for that. So these questions that you just asked, if I'm about ready to have a good day, I think it's going to make it better, frankly, and just enjoy it more. But if I'm going to have a day that's got some challenges, I feel like this is like putting on a suit of armor at the beginning of the day, like just getting my global belief. Cause these are such big global questions. It helps put into perspective whoever quit today or whatever employee yelled at you or your customer, whoever stole something or whatever. We all know in 10 years, you're not even going to be able to recall the situation, the name, none of it.
Right.
But we assign all this value. And I think these global questions kind of help put things in perspective of what's real and what's going to be true for a long time. And it helps put these little things that come and go in perspective. That's my favorite thing. Suzanne, I'm going to let you close all this out with any thoughts you have because you're a genius.
Actually, Mike, I just wanted to reinforce what you just said. It's so important to have that thought that what's happening right now is such a little thing, really, in the grand scheme of life. My life is so fantastic. Boom. Mm-hmm. Right? You took the little and you made it. What seemed so important, you made it not so important.
And not in a way that, again, that we talked about earlier, you bury it, it's just going to get bigger and bigger. We're not burying it. We're just refocusing on bigger, more important truths. So, and I will tell you, we talked about earlier, I think a good part of my success, certainly in the way I've experienced my business, which is generally very good, is because of the questions I ask. I said this before, as I see people grow, myself included, but the people I coach, what knocks them off kilter, makes them wobble, gets bigger. So when you're a little business with a dozen clients or so or whatever, and you're just small, one bad review can take you down for a week. When you start doing $1 million, you won't even notice that. When you start doing $10 million, you won't even be aware of it because you've got a team handling it. So the thing that makes you wobble has to increase if you're going to increase, if you want to, because really bigger businesses, bigger revenue, bigger opportunity, bigger impact means bigger problems that you have to solve. So if you're going to get swallowed up or knocked off course by a smaller problem, or what, you know, has to be a smaller problem to a guy running a $10 million business, I think those questions, you know, if I'm like, oh my gosh, they got a bad review or somebody this or somebody quit or blah, 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 what's going to happen? Why don't I, blah, 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 blah. That can take us down as long as we continue living in those questions, I guess. But if we've already prepared with those questions, the powerful global questions in the morning, and we're going to do them at night, and I would whip those out right now, right? I get a bad piece of news, I'm like, boom, I'm probably going to have those with me and just go to the bathroom if I got it. I need to read them out loud. You all do it in your head if you need. I need to verbalize. Yeah. Even if I whisper it to myself, so powerful. All right. Anything to add before we wrap it?
Go back through, write them down, commit to doing them for at least a week. Watch your life change, because it's not about doing more. It's about thinking differently.
All right. And I'm going to say, I think they're going to get lots of results. Feel free to email us, Suzanne@growmycleaningcompany.com, when you do this, and just share, kick butt. I struggled, whatever. I know we'd love to hear your lives changed from this podcast. So that said, if you would like more of this type of thinking, both on the tactical side, what to do and how to do it, as well as who to be, which is the more important part, which is what we talked about today, growmycleaningcompany.com, well over 800 podcast videos, blog, lots of content to help you. Growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.